your host, Jay Montgi.
And here we are back on the farm, down on the farm, at the Ultralight Barn, the Big Red Barn. Boy, what a nice day it is down here. Folks, if you haven't been down to check out Ultralights, you really need to head south and see this great venue. At the opposite end of the north-south runway from Warbirds is all these little guys flying around down here, and it is just a hustle and bustle of flying activity. Right now, for our last segment, I'm joined by Dan Grunlow, and Dan is the editor of Light Plane World Magazine, as well as the forum's chairman down here. Good afternoon, Dan.
That's right, Jay. It's fun to be here. I'm glad to tell everybody about the Light Plane World newsletter and about the forum's tent.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it. Tell people what to expect when they come down here on the farm.
Well, our forum stand here next to the barn has forums about every subject that you could imagine, a wide range, because so many different types of ultralight airplanes. We have 27 forums through the week. The best in our field from all over come and share their knowledge, and we pack that tent throughout the day.
How many forums a day do you have?
Four or five each day, I think five a day. I have the best job, really, because I get to decide who comes. I get to recruit them, talk them to come in and give their talks, and then they start coming back year after year. So we have some presenters that keep coming, and they provide service to their builders, the people they've sold airplanes to. So it's a way to get more information, to learn about what's going on in ultralights and light sport aircraft.
So you have flying safety forums, you have manufacturer support forums, you have some training forums, probably. What else?
We have speakers like Artie Trost come and talk about their flights, their long-distance flights.
She's a neat lady.
Oh, my gosh. Artie raises the bar for all of us, especially we men. Those of us who say they can't fly very far, and then Artie flies thousands of miles.
So she does
a
seminar.
We shouldn't say her age, but she's older than many of us, and she outflies most of us.
Well, she looks pretty chipper to me.
Yes, she is. She's spry.
So what does she, if she's going to give a forum, what basically does she do, a slideshow presentation?
Artie is, her other occupation is a motivational speaker.
Oh, well.
So she travels around the country speaking at boys clubs and various kinds of groups to motivate people to get out of their shell and do exciting things. And she comes on stage in her flight suit and tells stories about her adventures and helps inspire people to do more. So she's talking about her adventures, the things she sees along the way. I think on this trip she had two airplanes following with her. I didn't listen to her interview earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know how much
she had
talked about.
She had a group of airplanes.
But she's inspirational or motivational speaker. She can get you want to try to follow her lead. I know I do.
So what else? Engine manufacturers, when they do a seminar, what do they talk about?
Sure, the forum that is Phil Lockwood talking about Rotax engines, and he's been coming for years, and he has some great presentations where he points out all the little problems that people have, gives advice about maintenance, and usually is quite to the end of the period. He's one of our best speakers, and he's been coming for years. So engine maintenance, problem solving, that kind of thing, announcements about new products or new features on new engines. And so we have several engine manufacturers, several airframe people, builder groups come in, like Leonard Milholland sitting over here with his engines and airplanes. So a wide variety of things.
Tell us what's exciting that's happening in, because you're doing the magazine, so I know you've got your finger on the pulse, so to speak, of what's happening in ultralights.
For me, what's exciting is to see the renewed interest in the single seat ultralights. Over time, everybody wanted something bigger and faster, and airplanes got bigger and faster and more expensive, and now there seems to be more interest in people flying the traditional fun ultralights that weren't really designed to go distance, though they can. What's exciting? Well, meeting Artie Trost. I just found out that one of our planes down here, a little metal ultralight called the Ultra Cruiser, that pilot flew from New York.
Wow.
Flew from Kirk Mills, flew that Ultra Cruiser from New York, and it turns out to be the original prototype that the designer built 10 years ago. And this was his first long-distance flight. He'd never gone anywhere. Hops in an ultralight and goes 1,000 miles. He said all his friends said he was crazy. But a long-distance flight is just a lot of little flights stacked together. And you landings in fields and had to land for weather, but it was great to listen to his story. So the exciting part for me is meeting these people and getting fired up about their experiences and wanting to go try to imitate what they do.
You know, Dan, it just struck me as you said that, that is actually one of the safer aspects of ultralight flying is that you can land just about anywhere.
Kirk and I discussed that. And that's true. As long as you have a place to go, you always have a place to land. You don't have woods under you. You can go anywhere with a chart. I think nowadays a cell phone is required safety equipment. As long as you have a chart, a cell phone, and a plastic card to buy gas, you can cross the whole country.
Yeah. Well, now they even have these devices like the Spot Messenger.
Sure.
Where you can sync it by Bluetooth to your iPhone, and you can send messages through satellite. You don't even need a cell phone signal. So that you know, if you're in the backcountry with your ultralight, that makes it just that much safer.
And my new job, I've been doing the seminar tent for 15 years, but my new job with the Light Plan World newsletter has been fabulous, too, because I get to read these stories before anybody else does and bring them to the readers. And I want to encourage everybody to look for Light Plane World. I think it's the most fun. I try to emphasize the fun, which is what we have. We have a lot of fun down here. We focus on fun, and I try to bring that into Light Plane World.
Now, Dan, Ultralights is a part of regular EAA, not a separate division. So how does somebody get your magazine?
They can anywhere by going to the EA website, EA.org. I can make it even simpler. If they just remember the words Light Plane World, if you type Light Plane World in any search box, it'll go right to the
so
website.
The online edition?
You'll see my picture, the online edition. They can receive it monthly as an email. They can read it online. You don't have to be an EA member. It's something that's provided to anybody that's interested. It's mostly member-written. People send in their stories, favorite videos. We have expert articles by instructors and builders. But if they just remember the word, Light Plane World, and find the box that says subscribe here, and it'll start coming into your email mailbox.
That's excellent. What kind of features do you typically have? And does it come out monthly, or is it biweekly? Or
it's a monthly newsletter in several parts. There's a news section, and I try to bring the latest news. And that's kind of fun, too, because with being online, you can get the news out faster than the print media. And so I'm trying to scoop the magazines all the time. So there's a news section, what's hot this month. And then I try to have three or four feature articles, either from instructors, how to fly, or stories about people's flights. A wide variety of things. That's the cool thing about ultralights and is we have so many different kinds. The fixed wings, the weight shift trikes, the powered parachutes, the electric airplanes now.
I see a lot of helicopters over here. Now, helicopters technically cannot be in light sport, right? They have to be ultralights.
They've been our friends here for a long time because we share the facility. They generally fly in the middle of the day when it's windy and bumpy for our littler planes. We share the operational air, but it's also true at local club fly-ins. Helicopters mix well with everything, as long as they have their own arrival procedures and everybody's looking out. Ultralights and helicopters fly together. And here, even when the helicopters are flying, we have incoming ultralights. And everybody knows to make way, and we have spotters on the ground. So we've been sharing the facilities here with rotorcraft for a long time, and it works great. We keep the place hopping all day because we have something going on all day.
There is always something going on down here on the farm, that's for sure. Lot of activity down here, and you're kind of, you know, you're south far enough, you're kind of out of the way of the hustle and bustle of the north part of AirVenture. And that's probably nice for you guys, because you guys get nice calm air down here.
Yeah, we have a good place to fly, and we get to fly a lot. And that's part of the big appeal. That's the appeal, and I would tell other light sport pilots, yes, you can display elsewhere on the grounds and have a lot of people on the plane. But if you want to fly and you have an ultralight or light sport that can operate from our runway, people get to see you fly down here, and we draw a crowd at flying periods because people want to see those takeoffs and landings. That's the fun part of actually doing it.
It truly looks like a beehive when you guys are going at it about 6:30 at night.
It is, and it's wonderful. I've been flying here myself for 15 or 20 years, and I fly my little plane up here, and it's the greatest thrill. The thrill for me, though, is just in my last issue of Light Plane World, I asked the question in the poll, why do you come to AirVenture? And one of the options wasn't, probably the most important one, is to meet the people that are here and get inspired by their energy. We come to see the planes, the air show, to see the latest products, but it's bumping into these people, these other pilots and builders, and getting fired up by their enthusiasm to charge our batteries for another 51 weeks of flying. So that's, for me anyway, is these people.
Now, your magazine, it's member-written, you said, quite a lot of it. What about on the safety side? What do you guys put in the magazine to boost safety within the ultralight community?
The best feature we have for safety is a piece written every month by Tim Bogenhagen, EAA's ultralight
director.
And he puts in a Q&A every month, popular questions and answers that people have. Each type of aircraft, and those are always safety related. We have articles written by instructors. I especially go out and try to find the experienced instructors that give advice on how to use the radio or how to make good landings or how to be safe in the pattern. So I'd say a lot of our stuff is related to safety and fun and getting the information out about what's new. So,
you know, Artie's trip, we were talking to Artie about that earlier. It seems to me that something like that, a trip that she experienced, would be quite educational for other people. Things that she learned, because that's got to give you some experience with some things that you may not normally deal with. Mm-hmm. So if you're planning a cross country, having a resource to, well, how is my Quicksilver going to do at 7,000 feet? You know, how does a Rotax engine behave at 10,000 feet or 12,500 feet? Altitude and things that GA pilots like myself don't think about. We would never think of changing jets in a carburetor, for example.
So, certainly on a long distance flight with some of these engines, if you're traveling into different weather zones, you can have problems if you don't pay attention to the things.
So
like
I would imagine that your magazine features a lot of this kind of thing to help
it's
people prepare.
It's there all the time, and you're right. To learn how to do it, you need to read about other people's experiences. You get so many tips from reading their experiences. And I would encourage people to look at Light Plane World and go to the archives and read the back issues. We've put out about a year and a half now, and there's a lot of great material there for the ultralight and light sport pilot.
Excellent, Dan. Dan Grenlow is the editor of Light Plane World magazine and the head of forums down here on the farm in Ultralights. And that wraps up another edition of On the Fly. Tomorrow, you can join us at 1 o'clock. We'll be over at the Light Sport Mall, as a matter of fact.
Great.
Yeah, we'll be at the Light Sport Mall tomorrow. And then on Saturday, it's Seaplane Day. So we'll be out at the Seaplane Base on Saturday, 1 o'clock as well. So everybody get on down here to the farm. Here, a lot going on, and we'll see you tomorrow over at the Light Sport Mall. I'm Jay Maji. We are On the Fly.